Now, this supper has a great spiritual significance. First of all, we made the statement that Brother David Allen had to do with God. We said that to you in the past. Years ago, we spoke of it, spoke of certain things concerning Brother Allen and things that has never yet come to pass that will come to pass. We also predicted that Brother Allen would run into trouble with his big American cleaners, whereas he'd had no trouble, and all of a sudden they condemned it to the extent that they cut the road across there and was going to tear it down. And David asked me to please pray. And he prayed, and they fasted and prayed that God would have mercy and allow the cleanness to continue on, as God did. Then we predicted that he would turn and buy the cleaners that somebody else owned at that time, whereas there was no way to buy the cleaners he had formerly had, whereas there wasn't much attention paid to it. But sure enough, it turned out that by some strange means, David bought the same cleaners that he had. Now he has both cleaners. We made a number of predictions concerning him because we was looking at him in the mind of God and understood what God was doing with his life. Predictions concerning him, as we've made concerning the popes and the leaders of Russia, the leaders of the United States, and men like Billy Graham and Oral Roberts and Brother Branham and just many, many others, locally, abroad, nationally, international celebrities, or just everyday people, made the predictions, the Lord brought them to pass. Now then, in this, Susie is getting married. That is the wedding supper. Married to Dale Allen, which is Brother Allen's son, which has to do with the Lord Jesus. They're coming down to be in the wedding. And it was such a perfect setting for Revelation 19 until I understand they rented a maroon suit for the wedding. And then so much that Susie even came and asked for the white horse, not knowing and not thinking. She just said, all the rest of them's got a horse up there in the Carolinas, and they do. They're at Brother Allen's. I saw the picture of them. She said, I don't have a horse, which is a real outstanding thing. Revelation 19, the white horse, and what it has to do with Brother Dale Allen. And also at this time, the candlesticks, the Eldorado, the rod being caught up to the throne, the man-child, Brother David Paul, Brother Daniel coming back in, and we spoke the other night of what it had to do with. Here, all of a sudden, as we go to have this marriage supper, Susie, no, she wasn't thinking when she did it, but she came up to me there at the house the other night, and she walked up and she said, Dad, I want you to see my rings. And she was showing me her rings, and they're real nice. As a matter of fact, one of them's a real diamond. I know he paid quite a bit of money for it. But anyway, she was showing me her rings and how two of them fit together. And while I was talking to her, she said, now I want you to see this ring. And she took out Dale's ring. And while talking, she was just not thinking, and she slipped it on the finger. And the Lord spoke to me, because that's what this has to do with. All of a sudden, here is a marriage supper. This thing takes place right here at the same period or time of year that the Jews celebrate the sounding of the trumpets, the Day of Atonement, and the regathering of Israel, the palms of Elam, the regathering of Israel into Canaan. It has to do with the rapture of the church, the catching away of the church. As a matter of fact, Brother Green, Brother Henry Green's brother, Brother Albert, is planning to be down here at it. And the supper having such a great significance, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the white horse, the gathering of 75,000 people. Jesus referred to the Gentiles as dogs. All the dogs gathering together to see the sight of the marriage of the bride. Whereas Susie goes back to a scripture that Brother Allen was talking to me about the other day. The Old Testament. You know, I've always spoke about Susie, you know, and how God's blessed her. She went through a lot of problems, like to die a number of times, and God had warmed my heart, and I'd say, Susie is my song, you know. As a matter of fact, we named her Melody. And the Old Testament, the Lord spoke of bringing Zion. Well, just where is that scripture? I will just read it. It's in Isaiah. Is it Isaiah? We'll just read it to you. Okay, Isaiah 51 and what? Okay, 51:3. It's speaking of Abraham and Sarah. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare ye. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. All right, now this is, says, it is saying Abraham, the father of the faithful, Sarah, which is heavenly Jerusalem, the mother of us all. It says in the third verse, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden. Okay, come into Canaan now, the millennium. And her desert like the garden of the Lord. That is the time when you couldn't feel the refreshing of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. So then, the song concerning melody. Melody Sue, as we call her, the joy of the Lord restored to the church. That's what she has to do with. Immediately, right after the Lord gave us Susie, we were in a place called Battle Creek, Michigan. It was a terrible conflict in our lives. Problems and heartaches. Almost cost me the death of the one I loved. Then immediately we went to Michigan, Detroit, to preach there. I remember one of the sermons that we preached at one of the places there. We had some outstanding healings and preached the sermon there concerning Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and how America had been come exalted, the Lord was taking her down. As she said, as America says, look at me, my education, my ability, my skill, look at all the beauty of craft that I have done. Not giving glory to God. I remember preaching that. Immediately we went right into Canada. Canaan land, a song in the night, melody restoring the joy, as we would say, to the church. And right into the millennium, the new order coming in, because right after Revelation 19 and the battle, of course, that's exactly what happens. When our president went into office, he said, I feel like the world is going out, and I'm coming in. We spoke of the Christ, we spoke of Jimmy Carter, J.C. and Jesus, we spoke of the prisoners, how that they would be released and come home. What would happen? As a matter of fact, one of the men over in Atlanta, Georgia, that received a song sheet that wrote me a personal letter. One of the, I don't know, he was a general captain, whatever he was, that came back. He's running for senator, I believe. And in this letter that we wrote him, we told him about the need of righteous men in the Senate and how that we needed God to lead our nation. Really indoctrinated him. And now I understand he's running for Senate. He wrote me a beautiful letter of appreciation for the song and whatever. Now, the supper all these things happening, the prisoners being loose, they have a definite meaning. Strangely enough, the horse, the suit, the ordination that the brethren gave here just recently, in that they drew up the papers, signed their names, declared their independency, declared leadership, their little house of parliament, their flag, their nation, their activities, printing up their own money and everything, is really highly significant. Remember when they came from the old country here, that was kingship. So a president in this country means a king. George Washington said it is a presidency, but it is kingship. We said that it would go back to a monarch. You remember how that folded it was. It was an office. We spoke of Nixon meaning nothing, how that it would come to nothing, and then it would come to a kingship, and Ford came in, and I said, now it's gone to a monarch, which is a kingship. And you remember how that some of the brethren after that learned that Ford's name was really king. So then it moved on to that, and Jimmy Carter and others has been trying to change it to a kingship ever since. Jimmy wanted to change it from 4 years of presidency to six and such a lot. But I said that to say this, through the ordination here at Bethlehem, the government upon the shoulders of the sons of God, the new order coming in, the old folded up, laid away, the tribulation right on the verge of coming in, 82 right here at the door, scientists talking about the calamity of the stars and the planets and the end of the world in this coming year. Right this time, here we go over to the supper, which has to do with the crowning and the kingship or presidency. And all of a sudden, the car that come from Twitty goes down into Santa Rosa County or in that area, and here comes the car from that area about the time that Twitty goes down into that area. So the car going down to that area to cause it to relate, that it might relate to the Santa Rosa vision that we had down in Honduras. All of a sudden it goes down there, and George Jr., carrying our name, he comes up in the car. And as I said, I knew that we would get the car because of what it had to do with. And the Lord moving on Brother Conrad was just perfectly in harmony with the revelation of Christ. Because Brother Conrad is at a car lot in California. He comes and opens up a car lot right across from the recreational center. We say recreation. Brother Branham, Brother Wright, and the third pull of the recreation, or recreation, which means recreational. Now, the third pull of creating or recreating. We're right on the verge of flying over for Brother Wright. It has to do with the vision of Brother Branham, the cave, discovery of the cave. When I said that God definitely would take me to the cave. And when Sister Branham said that, she didn't know of anybody that knew where it was except Joseph. Or said she didn't know that Joseph knew. Said Brother Branham and her was the only one that knew. She wasn't sure that Joseph knew, and Ricky told me later that Joseph did not know. He told me the cave that Joseph knew of, that they'd been to it. But anyway, we went there. We said, the Lord will show it to us, and He did. The resurrection, you remember what happened on that day? The boots had come in from down in Houston, where the pillar of fire appeared over Brother Branham's head. Bobby Wells, what we predicted would happen, how it happened, he came here. We gave him the new boots, how he converted over to this. The different things that took place when we went down into Honduras, and that we went through Houston, they had to get the passport. And the stones they brought back from the moon being put in Houston. You remember how all these things so beautifully tied together, that on that morning when we discovered the cave, you know, we discovered the cave, and then on the following morning, they had the meeting of Brother Branham, broke down the veil between the auditorium and the gym. What was said that morning about Joseph coming Billy Paul, the bonds child, Joseph, the free child, the Pentecostal woman, the Baptist woman. You remember how that those boots had to do with that? They were there that morning. We had the boots. David Paul and the brethren flew over for that meeting in a little twin-engine plane. We had the crusade there in the white tent. You remember the things that happened? The sign that Brother Branham received was that if you can get them to believe, not even cancer shall stand before your prayer. Out of all things that was to be done, it was cancer that was healed there. Now, the cave, the resurrection, up on the hillside, those boys, I can't remember the boy's name, what is it, Jared from? Ron Beebe from over in Michigan. Ron was there, and the little boys called Moses and whatever that name was, Bible names, wandering through the wilderness with that stick in their hand when we discovered the cave. Brother Bradley being there, the angel rolled the stone away. There we rolled the stones away, the track of faith. Here we come, and from out of the wilderness, we went down to the little bus that had to do with Reuben, the firstborn. It goes back to Waycross, what we said concerning the brother down in Augusta, and the resurrection, George Jr. working with him for a while. And how that when we got out to the bus, we refreshed them and gave them some food. After we got them out of the wilderness, they said that they were looking for the cave. We never did even tell them we found it. There wasn't but just a few feet from it. When we went back down into the bus, we gave them a harvest to Harold that had to do with Brother Taylor and Miss F.B. down here at the lake where we faded out in the picture. That had to do with the rapture. And immediately he gave me a book on Joseph, my son, thou art a prophet. And then that morning, they said, Billy Paul said, we're waiting for Joseph to come. And about that time, Brother Wells, Brother Grady, said, Brother Pike, just about that time, you and your wife came in. We spoke of the chains that Joseph would start working with the Brother Branham followers. He'd come up out of the dungeon, we said, and shave and get away from the motorcycle gang. He did, immediately. Come up, cleaned himself up, fastened himself after that to the work of the Lord. And the tapes that's been coming out is the tapes that Joseph is sending out. With this, we spoke of numbers and numbers of things that it would take all night long to talk about them. But the supper was so perfect, or it is so perfect that it really shows what we're saying here. Remember Brother JT, the Ark of the Covenant he saw here, we predicted that his tent would come and be set right out there in the yard. He set it out there, and the day that we was working out there with JT, something took place. Spoke of JT that according to what we understood, he would come into an inheritance. As a matter of fact, they've narrowed that thing down. It isn't going to be the money he thought it would be. But I understand that it will have to do with millions. Brother JT was out there that morning. We were talking out here at the tent. We were talking, and Brother JT, he had a tooth here that had been capped. He said, I got to take this cap off. He said, it's giving me trouble, so I got to take it off. He said, it is a gold crayon. I got to take it off. It's giving me trouble. God choosing the foolish and the base things of the world to confound the wise. He said, this thing's got to come off. At the very same time, I went to the dentist to have a tooth checked, whereas I hardly ever go to the dentist, doctors, anything like that. But I felt it was to go, and sometimes it has to do with God. I went up there, and he put me on a gold crown. So it's still there. Some of the finest dental work that I have ever had in my life. It's just perfect. He capped the entire tooth with a gold crown. This meeting that we're having over here has to do with the crowning, has to do with the bodily redemption in that Brother Conrad comes from Louisiana, the purchased possession. You remember what we said about the Louisiana purchase, Napoleon, the type. California, where Joshua came into his family, There, Joshua, California, the crossing of the Jordan. Me, Brother Conrad, the twins, Joshua, down the intercoastal in Louisiana, up and down the intercoastal. And here comes the boat over here in the crossing of the Jordan. Brother Conrad leaves. Brother Jameson, relative to the place called Houston, his relatives there, the stones there from the moon. At this time, the shallow going up again. This time, Brother Conrad coming up here, he pays $2,200 to get that automobile, the limousine, up here. There's only about four of them made. They were made especially for presidents. All right, now are the celebrities. 22 conductive nerves from the eye to the brain that indicates the vision. The vision moving from Santa Rosa County, Mike coming up here, drawing the pictures he did of the thunders and whatever. All of a sudden, the thunders are coming out. The angel of the thunders, the finishing of the mystery. Brother Wilson, seven churches that he pastored. And here comes the truck that was parked by the tent in the days of the voice. All of a sudden, the tent that went out that we said had to do with the redemption and the birth of the child, which went to Marysville, all of a sudden it goes over there, the same tent that went to Virginia. We spoke of what New Jersey, Virginia, Washington, the Carolinas, Smoky Mountain, all those things had to do with spiritually. You've got it on tape of what it has to do with spiritually, the birth of the child. Baltimore, all of a sudden here's the marriage. Brother Fulton, we say the fullness of time. Brother Fulton, New Jersey, Chuck sees the new constitution going up on the White House door. All of a sudden here comes Brother Fulton and Joel marries his daughter. Joel was the prophet that prophesied of the outpouring of the Spirit upon your sons and daughters, which had to do with Pentecost, which has to do with the change of going into the millennium. In the fullness of time, he sent forth his son. Right down at the end of it, here Brother Conrad, having to do with the crossing, the Joshua, Moses, going out, the new coming in, the new order, the crossing of the carnal mind, getting over into the revelation of the spiritual mind, leaving the mind of death, coming into the mind of Christ, which is Canaan. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. The world has thought in terms of an eagle nation, which has to do with the move of Brother Branham, a prophetical thing. They have thought in the terms of natural thinking, programming their mind with education. So it is with them. That's their lifestyle. But now the mind of God comes. They program their mind, then they begin to think as God. Suddenly they become God, the membership of the body of Jesus, and Christ comes back to receive them, the mind of Christ. Then all of a sudden, that causes their world to change. There has to come in a new world of the millennium, because if a man thinks millennium and thinks heavenly, his world around him automatically changes because his thinking changes him. Remember, when the mind of Christ comes, it's in your members. Don't forget that. Matter of fact, this is one or two things that we spoke on last night. We was talking to David and Paul then. What we've got to remember is this one thing, is that if you are born of God, and I'd have to explain this because some of you wouldn't understand it. But if you're born of God, then you are God. If you are born of God, then you are God. That's why Jesus said, ye are gods. When you are born of man, you are man. Because you are flesh. And that's what man is. But when you're born of God, you are God. Which means you are spirit. He that is born of the Spirit, Jesus said he is spirit. For God is a spirit. Now when the mind of God comes, You've got to remember one thing, that though we are God, we may be a hand, we may be an arm, we may be the shoulders, the leg, the feet, whatever. But Jesus Himself is the head. There is a body called the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the head to the God body. And here's what we've got to remember. The mind of Christ that's in that head has to be given to the body. So then the mind of Christ has to come in the absence of that natural head to program the body, get it all together before the head can ever come. That's why the world has that little terms, I can't get it together. The devil will never get it together. God's already got it together. So then, when we think of this, the mind of Christ has come. Now He said, let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus. Which means you know all things. You have an unction from the Holy One, you know all things. Because the head knows all things. You got to remember this, folks. My arm has my mind in it. Isn't that right? How else can my arm coordinate with my brain? My hand has to have just as much of the mind of Christ in it to that extent as my head would have, speaking of Jesus being the head. Now, so then, there's just as much of my mind, which is in my head, just as much of that in my hands and my feet as it is in my head. Else, how can my hand feed my mouth? See, my hand is motivated and moved by that mind. So then this mind is in you, which makes you God manifested in the flesh according to your measure, according to your membership, baptized into the body as a member. Now, so that mind is in you as a member. It tells you what to do. It coordinates. It tells you how to relate to that head. See, let me say this. We speak of types and we speak of shadows. I do that. Paul said, I speak after the manner of men because of your infirmity. That's the only way we can speak to you. We have to use man's terminology. So then after the infirmity of your flesh, I speak to you as a man. And I say types and shadows. But with God, who is a spirit, we're not types and we're not shadows. We are literally sons and daughters of God, of the living God. Now, that means that we've already passed from death into life. So then, when I say shadow, I'm only speaking of the way those people see me and see you. All they see is the shadow, the lying vanity, the figment of their imagination. As they think, so are they. All they see is their thoughts. So you cannot see anything but what you think. I don't want to get over your head. I just want to say some things for your edification to show you what the supper is. All you can see is what you think. You don't see nothing else. See, Jesus could walk right through a wall because He thought like that. He didn't see no wall. He didn't think no wall. When I say see, the Bible said that the God of this world has blinded their eyes that they might not see when good cometh. Now, that has to be speaking of our spiritual comprehension, the eyes of our understanding. Your eyes of understanding is your eyes of thinking, your thoughts. What you think is what you see. That's exactly what you see. You think, you look, you see. So then, all that is around you, everything that is around you because that's what you think. But if you didn't think like that, it wouldn't be there. Enoch started thinking different. Everything went away and he found himself in the glory world. Elijah started thinking different. Everything went away. He found himself in the glory world. Paul the apostle received the revelation of Jesus Christ. He started thinking different. All of a sudden he found himself in the third heaven. This is what the rapture is. This is what the translation is. That's why I use the term so often. There's no such thing as a rapture. The Bible doesn't say rapture. There's no terminology as rapture. That's a man-made application. God said from glory to glory you're changed as one that's beholding the unveiled glory of God, looking into that face of God, and from that glory that comes, it changes you from within. The blood genetics is changed as the light breaks forth It come forth from Moses. It changed him. All of a sudden, he was so bright, they had to put a veil over him. It come forth in the life of Stephen. They stoned him. They beheld his face as an angel. Wisdom makes your faith to shine. That is, your thoughts will make your face to shine. It'll change you. You have to be careful. He'll be going away. Enoch, Brother Branham, had done got too close to the crossing. That face began to be illuminated. The Lord had to take him away. He had to let Paul be taken away to keep the translation from taking place until its proper time. So the multiply and replace the earth could continue until everything was well set in order and it was fully furbished to furnish. Now, so God wouldn't be short in his creatures, types and shadows and revelation, the program of the natural thing for programming man's mind to be able to comprehend the spiritual, it had to continue on to the last jot and tittle. Now, so then you only see what you think. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. That means your thoughts will make you what you are. You begin to think such things, and all of a sudden you escape gravity. Gravity loses its hold. Peter began to think, if that's Jesus, tell me to come to you. I can walk on the water. He began to think like that. All of a sudden, here he is walking on the water. See, the gravitational powers couldn't hold him any longer. He was just like he's floating through there. Ezekiel began to think like God, Valley of Dry Bones. Up, Ezekiel went through there, over to the Valley of Dry Bones. Philip began to think the same way. He was caught away. They couldn't find him. Jesus thought that way. He appeared in glory. All of a sudden, he was with Moses, with Elijah. Moses began to think that way, and he on the mountain. Look at him. So what I'm saying is we're getting close. All of us is getting close to the translation. The translation is not, like they say, a rapture and that kind of thing. Satan seeks to throw the church off trail by that. Rapture means caught up, caught away. That's true. Thessalonians change. That'll happen. But see, something got to happen before then to bring that about. Individually, you have your sovereignty under faith like Enoch. The translation by faith, as you think, have whatever you say. Collectively speaking, is the body, that is the ordination of Thessalonians change. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when we all come together, at that last, when all of God's members come together, collectively speaking, then God will have programmed their minds into that very moment of expectation. Then when the dead come out of the graves, because your thoughts is what's going to bring the dead out of the graves. See, as soon as you're perfected, the dead will come out of the grave. How do you understand that? See, it is not God keeping the dead in the grave, because God has nothing to do with death. Death come by man, not by God. So that it is man keeping the dead in the grave. Man brought that thing that put man in the grave. So man must eradicate that thing that holds man in the grave. As soon as man comes to perfection, that is, God will bring in this age a perfection in a human being. When that thing comes, as it was with Jesus, as it was with Adam, as it was with Noah, there'll be a membership of that one that he brings to perfection. He brings a perfect man in every age for that purpose. That means that is Christ coming to the body, or God presenting himself. Now when that happens, when he perfects this image, then the membership that's connected to it is also perfected. Now when they are perfected, God will use that group. Automatically, death is gone. You know what we're teaching here about no death? Remember your teachings now. You pass from death unto life. Remember the rapture, not in earth, hid with God in heaven, whom the heavens have received. As you think, so you are. First, you must be told that it has actually happened by Calvary, by God's plan. Then you receive it in your thinking. You believe it. Then you transfer it to your heart. It becomes faith. Then it translates you. I say, Brother Gary, by his stripes you've been healed. No matter what the condition is, Brother Gary says, glory to God, Jesus said it, I believe it, yeah and amen, it can't be altered. That's just a head knowledge. But he keeps thinking it. Till after a while, he thinks, well, I'm feeling a little bit better. just thinking it making him feel a little better. And then all of a sudden he's thinking, well, you know, I believe I am healed. And then it starts turning to faith. And then he gets to believing, because he does get to feeling better then. Then he gets to believing, and all of a sudden, he says, my God, you know, I really believe I am healed. Like that, calling those things that are not as though they are. So then your mind must be programmed to your benefits. Once it's programmed to your benefits, you start thinking that. Then your surroundings and environments start changing. And you have to be careful then, you'll be translated. So then, I said that to say this. Once that perfection comes, death can't hold people no more. It can't hold the body no more, because you've conquered the body. You've brought the body into subjection. It can't hold it anymore. You've eradicated all the impurities and filtration. So as quick as that comes to perfection, that means that that living group has conquered death, and they begin to push the soul away. And they begin to push your way out of there like a little chick coming out of a shell. They stand up, and when the people see that, they say, glory to God, this is it. You know, because when they start coming up out of that grave, then that sets your faith off to believe that he's there, and he appears, and that's it. And you drop off that old rope. All of a sudden, that inner glory just goes right through you, just like that light and that illumination comes out, and you outshine the noonday sun. And every fiber of your body, that glory working from within, every fiber of your body is changed into the great glorified body of the Son, likeness of the Son of the living God. Now, we're getting close to that, closer and closer. This supper has to do with that. Look at it like this. Here is a light up here. Here is a great light, God the great light. That light struck that image of Adam. When it struck that image of Adam, all of a sudden, something happened. Adam went into darkness after the striking of the image. Eve, the weakness of the flesh, that is the flesh subduing the inner man. Here Eve subdues Adam. Adam goes into darkness, that is, into the veil. The camera flashes, it strikes the image, and then the process starts, and here it goes into the veil. Like Don, when he shoots a picture, it's upside down. He shoots the picture, he runs it through the image to put it right side up. So it comes here, Adam falls from his lofty state, the light of the Shekinah overshadowing him and strikes the image. Then Adam goes out into the dark veil of the intellectual carnal mind. And that inner Adam continues until Christ is formed within you. And it continues on. It continues on till Calvary. Here that light from the garden is still shining. But it's shining, see, from behind you, which throws Satan over here in the front of you and death in the front of you. And you're moving toward lust and desire and enticement, and you're dying because you're following that shadow. For the light's here, shining here, and the serpent has crawled up into the upper lintel, and the shadow has got between you and the sunlight, like the eclipse of the moon, the sun. Here, this image is going on, but it's overshadowed with death, and death is in front of it. But when it gets to Calvary, all of a sudden, the sun is rising to the high noon. As it gets to Calvary, see, it's rising within you to the high noon for the change of the body. Calvary, it's rising to the high noon. Then here comes Calvary, it's high noon. The shadow is under your feet. You've conquered death. And then comes your millennium, or here comes your new day, and the light is moving over here now, and it's back in front of you again. It's back over here. You're facing it like when it first struck you. And the shadow is behind you. As the Bible said, get thee behind me, Satan. Death is destroyed. It's no more. There is no more death, no more poverty, no more anything that has control over you, because the shadow is now behind you. And this is what Paul said. The Old Testament is your type. The Old Testament is your shadow. We are not a shadow. They just look at us as a shadow. We are really the genuine sons and daughters of God. But they look on the outward appearance, so they see our body. Seeing our body, all they see is the shadow. They cannot see the good within us when good cometh. They see the shadow. They see our faults, our shortcomings. But see, the light of God's glory being revealed, the evening time light, and in the evening time there shall come to pass, there shall be light. For great light has sprang up to them that sit in the regions and the shadows of death. Whereas just before this light, intellectual, educational darkness, lust and desire for human things and tangible substance, gross darkness shall cover the people. They shall be in a gross darkness. Then the light of the revelation springs up at the end time. Then it pushes it away. That's why your little card has the seal on it with the angels coming and Jesus in it as a light, a rays from the sun. It comes as it comes. See, the light pushes the shadows back. So here's the light, and death is behind you. You've conquered it. You can't die anymore. You've been translated in the kingdom of God. You've been caught up into heaven because earth is on the other side of Calvary, and heaven is on this side of Calvary. No more earthly creatures. You are no more a natural Jew, a natural person. You are a spiritual Jew. You're no more a natural man. You're not in the flesh. If you was in the flesh, you couldn't please God. That is the carnal mind. That'd be death, because death is in that mind that of your thinking that got in through the tree of knowledge. You think death, you think shadows, you think naturally, so it's out there in front of you. That's all you see is darkness. But all of a sudden you begin to think life. Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. You begin to think life. He said, now you pass from death unto life because you believe this. You begin to think life, and then the types and shadows move behind you. Death moves behind you. The shadow moves behind you. You're in the world of light, the mind of God. Now, in this, that's the thing that's happening. Old Testament, New Testament, the book of Revelation. Old Testament are types and shadows. New Testament, that brings you into the image. But then when you get into Revelation, that brings you into the light. The light, the image, the shadow. It's before you as a type and a shadow when you don't know it. It is behind you when you do know it. And you're in the light. So this veil that was over Rebecca's face before the marriage to bring the shamefacedness, to esteem God great, you saith nothing. That veil of intellectual condemnation and reasoning, that veil of death from Calvary, that intellectual reasoning that made you think yourself to death, programmed you to death, that veil is over the people, even today, their minds in the reading of the Old Testament. Said, put the veil over your face, Moses. That is the body of Jesus. Veil in the Shekinah glory of God till we could, by precipitation, come into the fullness of it. The body of the veil smote at Calvary. The veil went into. The light went into you like that. That I saw it come down out of heaven. Went into us. The pillar of fire with Brother Branham. This pillar that I saw of fire and light went into us. Which means after Calvary. Before, as I was with Moses, he said to Brother Branham, I'll be with you. Now, his people, quotes in law, that's all they know. And I spoke the other night to Brother Jack Palmer and Brother Branham, praying that God would make this one of the biggest ministers in the world. Personally prayed for our minister that would happen. Now, in this, what I'm saying is, you come to the New Testament, people still see you as a type because they look on the outward appearance. Your body hasn't been changed, so all they see is a type. But not a type, my brother, because you're very God on the inside. And you're where you're at. Your spiritual man's already in heaven. You're everything that you'll ever be. All you're doing is just waiting for Thessalonians change so they can see it. Not so you can see it. So they can see it. That just that instantaneous change is the manifestation of the sons of God so they can see it. That you're not a type. And that type thing, the flesh, is gone like that. That shadow moves. And they see you as that bright, wonderful God image that's always been God's image. Even before the world was in the mind of God, that is in His thinking. For as your thoughts, so are you. If you are thoughts of Satan, you are the seed of his planting. Therefore, you are the production of his harvest, as we say. Or if you are God's thoughts, which is the foreknowledge thoughts of God, you are the seed of his planting, which means sonship. Thus you come forth to that image, Paul said, till Christ be formed within you. So you think yourself to death, or you think yourself to life, or according to your thinking, so are you. That is according to the foreknowledge thoughts of your father, either God or Satan. So are you, and so you will come forth as the image of the beloved. In the morning, that is the resurrection, I'll despise your image, because you think carnally, you desire the things of the world. To be carnally minded is death. The love of the world's in you. So the love of fasting, praying, doing the things of God, being about your Father's business, the love of God is in you. So then it depends on what seed that you are of, according to the planting. So I said that to say this. This supper brings it to the end. Like Brother Charlie said, he shallow become. And at this supper, Charlie's supposed to perform the wedding. He said, and Brother Pike was sitting down at the end of the table. We was waiting for him to say the last amen. And it all was over. Shiloh had come. Now, who is Shiloh? The Bible said, Sceptre shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between the feet, until Shiloh become. Shiloh, you might not can see Shiloh, but, like Brother Charles Elliott said, Shiloh become. In Israel, we wrote the song, Shiloh Become. Now, look at this. Brother J.T., Brother Branham, I said he was the carryover. The crown with Israel, the crown with Brother Branham, following the crown with the Pope. The crown left the Pope, and on down, the 1, 2, 3, naturally, physically, and spiritually. Brother J.T. breached it over to here, set his tent out there, then the crown left. He said, I got to get this crown off. It had it all that time. Then we went and put on a crown. Strangely enough, this crown was pointing toward this supper, which has to do with that presidency. It goes back to kingship. The car coming up, George Jr., Santa Rosa, Brother Branham, the changeover. Coming up here, the song in the night, melody, the marriage of the son, the supper. And you might say, well, I don't see how it has to do with it. Well, it was connected with Cynthia's marriage, which had to do with the bride. The woman that drew the little word bride, her name Holly. Over here, the woman that's fixing this, her name's Holly. Over here, we're having it at the Holly, the inn, as we say. So here, when we look at this thing, the full gospel businessman being over there, coming from California, that's where Brother Branham's body was buried. He joined them. That's all he ever joined. Joseph of Arimathea, the rich man that started that thing. Here comes the resurrection. Brother Willie going over there getting the Chrysler, the very Chrysler that we got for George Jr. We gave to Brother Ernie. Sitting over there, it's all out of shape. Came from here, came from Waycross, ribbing the firstborn, going over there, resurrecting it, bringing it in. Brother Ernie having to do with that thing, Cincinnati, Ohio, and having to do with the coming in of that which had to do with the change over to Indiana, where we're running that German scholar, the lightning. You remember what we said about and Mount Carmel, the showdown. Right now, at this supper, strangely enough, with this having to do with the crown, here comes the automobile, purchase possession, the body of redemption. You remember the song? The buckle that had the crown on it. I've got one of them on right now. Here a few days ago, Jerry bought me a belt, Brother Lambert. You remember the dove buckle that Brother Lynn gave me. Who it went to and what it had to do with. Bringing in the goodies of Canaan land for the children. Here, I took it off of my belt. I gave it to the man to his shocking amazement. Brother Jerry buys me this belt. Right while I was talking to Atlee over the phone there, down from the store, down in Tarpon. I put a crown on here, but before I put the crown on, it went through some dimensional stages of the eagle and such, having to do with Brother Branham. I put this crown on, and all of a sudden, the Lord speaks to me about the cheer for Chuck. Donald, the widow, the crossing, the wreck, Brother Branham, Brother Clyde, Brother Jack, the pommel worm, thy worm, Jacob, you know what I'm saying. All of a sudden, as I said concerning Brother Clyde, Brother Branham unto death, Brother Clyde, for making having do with the resurrection unto life, to tide it over, his people being Brother Branham followers, had Brother Palmer just before the pommel worm gets into the body, that is, Mr. Palmer, didn't get the car when he came after the car. That represents the bruised body. This meeting, this belt, strangely enough, is tied together. He is my shield and my buckler. Your loins girded about with the truth. Here, we get a cheer from the widow. We get a cheer from the widow. A cheer that we give Brother Chuck. Chuck, my brother Charles. Charles coming over here through the prediction of being placed out here in the graveyard, being moved from Memphis, we say Egypt. Out of Egypt, I've called my son. Here, all of a sudden, Charles, who is dead, medically speaking, he's dead. Dead from the waist down, no life, no reproduction, no nothing. Medically impossible to have feeling. But nevertheless, we got this chair. Put Chuck in it. It's a power chair. California, Chuck. Brother Branham, dead. California, Chuck, buried. You understand what I'm saying? Chuck, killed, the waist down. Life, no reproduction. Here, all of a sudden, we give Chuck a chair, bring the California perspective in for Brother Branham. Same thing about this vault that we spoke about here that come from California. Crossing of the Jordan, stones. All of a sudden, Chuck, we say, sown in weakness, Brother Branham, California. Put him in a power chair, raised in power. Coming from the cross, because power comes from the cross, the crucifixion. Right at the time Brother Clyde's wrecked. He needed something to prop his feet against. Something said to me, take your belt off. Put my belt, took my belt off, just following the Spirit. I strapped it around the bottom, had somebody to do it, and the Lord said, I'm your shield, I'm your buckler. See, loins girt about with the truth. Put it down there, the preparation of the gospel, his feet, the soul and the washing of the water of regeneration, and the crown of my approval of the resurrection. Crown him Lord of all. So we did. All of a sudden, here comes the foundations. Here comes the plane boat. Here comes the little carriage, everything out of the wilderness. And to kind of bring things to close here, because we could just go on and on and on. Here, all of a sudden, at this particular meeting, the petitions are taken out into a 1, 2, 3. All of a sudden, at this meeting, the gathering of the dogs. All of a sudden, at this meeting, right in an intellectual center, because Athens was where Paul withstood them about their unknown God, talking about one thing and another. All of a sudden, at this meeting, the man that put my gold crown on, the dentist, says he wants to be at this supper. Coincidental or not, the same man that put on the crown says he's going to be at that supper. That could be coincidental, but coincidental or divine providence. Cindy said, Daddy, it's a strange thing. But the other day, he lost all of his crayons. Said somebody stole all of his crayons. He doesn't have any more crayons. Well, that is his golden crayons. So see, it is a true fact that when the one crown comes, that is the perfect work, and I tell you it's perfect, then all of the crayons are thrown down at his feet. There is no more crowns. The man goes out of the crowning business. All the crowns are gone. Because in that day, when he's crowned Lord of Lords and King of Kings, folks, that ends. They ride away on the white horse, and that's it. So then I said that to say this, that supper has a great meaning. In the event that you don't see or haven't seen, then try to understand the great significance of what's taking place.
Trying to do what little I can, that we can be ready. If all of this is true, then we understand what is happening with this coming year, in that scientists has predicted the end of the world to the extent of the calamities. So then if all this is true and it's shaping up in the spiritual and these things are taking place, and God, if all this heavenly thing is taking place and we're looking into heaven and we're seeing it, and all that's taking place in the Spirit, and the Lord is telling us that his men knew these things. For the Bible said, you're children of light, the mind of Christ. You'll know when that day is nigh, even at the door. The world won't know. They're blind. But here we are. If that is the light penetrating the veil, if that is what's taking place in heaven, and God is just letting us see it by these little bits and pieces of natural happening, of putting the puzzle together, if God is revealing heaven to us through little precipitation of thoughts, to program our mind bit by bit in bits and pieces, that our thoughts, our mind which is in bits and pieces of thoughts, that each thought can be translated, changed, until it thinks according to the bits and the pieces. And then all comes together as the great mind of Almighty God, that through that mind which is heir to that Shekinah glory, that great light may just break through without any hindrance and come pouring through that mind when it's constituted together as the puzzle, just shoo, to change us in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, from mortality to immortality, from corruptible to incorruptible, that we might be eternal and live forever. In the bits and pieces, we're looking beyond the veil. Now, in the vision I saw looking up into heaven, I saw these things. I want you to, let's sing a little chorus together, and I want you to think on these things. Something is taking place. Something that Brother Pike has no control over. This commandment have I of my fathers, I preached the other night. I have power to lay my life down. I have power to take it up. Such is your promise from God. Such authority you have. No one has ever had that authority. Death, man hath no power of the Spirit to retain it. But ye are not man. Ye are God's. Ye are sons of God. It is given unto you the commandment of your Father as the body of Jesus, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. This commandment have you of your Father, that you can lay your life down, and you did lay it down, just like Jesus did. Calvary, you gave yourself, your body, a living sacrifice, body 9, your fleshly passions and hungers and thirsts, appetites. You took your body to Calvary, and you killed it for Christ's sake all the day long, as the sheep to the slaughter. You laid it down. But because he gave you the power over it to lay it down, that is a positive proof that you are God's. Man hath no power to lay his life down. He can't get away from his appetites. He can't get away from the things that he hungers and thirsts after. He can't do it. He can try all over and over, but the seed according to the planning and the thinking. He can't do it. He'll resent. He'll be jealous. He'll find fault. He'll be envious. He'll follow the passions. Esau savors the things that be of the world. Satan in the flesh. But you're not in the flesh. So Satan has no power over you. That's the earth. Woe to them that's in the earth. But you have power to lay it down. You can conquer it. You can master it. You have done it. You laid it down for his glory. Now then, he said, because you do that, sown in weakness, raised in power. Now you're no longer who you was. You're no longer in the flesh of weakness and death. You are in the resurrection and the life, eternally alive forevermore. You was dead, but now you're alive forevermore. Because you had power to lay it down, I gave you power to take it up. So you took it up, and now you're hid with him in heaven, having been raptured, translated into that great kingdom. For the Bible said, God hath right now translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom was preached, men press their way into the kingdom. Lift up your heads, ye everlasting gates, that the King of glory may come in. For ye are the gates of heaven. But he said to the people that come against us, he said to them, from out of you, just like a man smoking a cigarette, comes the smoke of the furnace and the locust, as in Revelation. He said, ye gates of hell, ye shall not prevail against this. So then, who is this Lord of glory? He's mighty in battle. Here you have the power to take it up, so you took it up. You took it up in that you passed from death unto life. You're now in the resurrection to never come into condemnation. And your bodily change and the Thessalonian change will prove your authority where you took it up. This commandment have ye of your Father. Ye have power to lay down your life. Ye have power to take it up. Because you was willing to lay down the body, then you also have power to redeem, to translate, to change the body that it shall not see death, to bring it forth from the grave. Let's sing this little chorus together, can we? Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul. For my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Let's sing that again. Or let's sing this. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and will sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Don't you believe the Lord? Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, cross over the old carnal mind, for my people must be led. Moses led them through the wilderness. Jesus. But Joshua led them into Canaan. The spiritual invisible Christ. As you think, so are you. A friend closer than a brother, he's in you. The songs of the Lamb fixing to come out. Give me a song, Lord. Give me a song. Give me a song that I can sing all the day long. A song in the daytime and a song in the night. The song of the Lamb that makes everything right. It's God's resurrection. It's the song of the Lamb. They're just ready to come out with it. Stevie will be running it maybe tomorrow. Right at the supper, the song of the Lamb. Thank you, Kenny. We have to tell the Holiday Inn how many is going to be at the supper. Exactly how many. Early in the morning, because we're going to be charged for the number we turn in. So if there's anyone who is not going to go, please let us know. And if you're going, please let us know. If you give us your word that you're coming, you will be charged even. If you aren't there, that you're coming, you will be charged even if you aren't there. Also, everyone who wants a parking place reserved because of the ball game, you will have to pay $3. You can write your name on slips of paper and turn $3 in, and someone is going over to Athens in the morning, and they will reserve it for you. Yeah. It's like the church ages, 7-8 of them, the resurrection. The last one being the sevenfold light of all seven of the proportional lights. Compound caught into that one great light, that great one, great exposure of revelation of the mind of God that turns loose the glory to change the church in the sevenfold light. For when the sun goes into a sevenfold light, and they're expecting it this coming year, which has to do with what we've said in the springtime, the new order, the millennium coming in. When it goes into the sevenfold light, it means the end of the church ages. The sounding of that trumpet, the brother, the voice, the last voice, the voice of the of the seventh angel. The trumpet, like I said, Daniel, that white hat that Mike had from Santa Rosa County having to do with Brother Branham's redemption. He gave to Brother Al, who had to do with the redemption of the body, just coming from up yonder, going through the seizure. He gave it to Danny, and it had that trumpet, that last angel, having to do with Brother Branham. The last angel, as he sounded, going down, the last angel coming up. This time, the resurrection, sown as a natural man, raised as the Christ. The sevenfold light, the little trumpet was on Daniel's. Daniel's been out yonder, and all of a sudden Daniel comes back, which is the reproduced image of Brother Al, in youth, strength, and in having been with our ministry from the time he was a boy. Daniel out of the lion's den, you'll find it's the resurrection of Christ. The Hebrew children in the flames, Jesus in the flames of hell. The lion's den, going down into the graves for a deliver thy the soul of thy darling from the lions, he said. Suffered not his soul to remain in hell. That is, his body to see corruption. Just before the skin worms of the world, the Parma worm that's devoured, he said, I'll restore. Just before it gets into the church, it's already penetrating the church. He said, I'll bring my body forth and won't let the church be contaminated. I'll bring them forth in the resurrection. So then, the sevenfold light. The sevenfold light, what does it do? Once the church gives off the sevenfold light, she goes into a nova. She'll never shine again. Once the sun gives off its sevenfold light, it goes into a nova and then it shrinks away to never shine again. Right now, the church is coming into the sevenfold light. And as in heaven, so in earth. Right at this very time, it has to do with this coming spring, the coming year, and the time that we should resume payments on the plane. The presidents are taking office. Right at that time, all of a sudden, scientists say, no more world, calamity of the stars, whatever. Will it happen? Only the Lord knows. It's not for me to say. I'm just telling you what I understand of God's world. God's heavenly perspective, he knows. He knows. All right. It's some coincidence, as we would say, that it all would run together. But Sister Betty said, you need to make preparations. You need to know. Okay? I want you to slip your hands up with me. I appreciate your attention. I know some of you are tired. I'm a little tired myself sometimes if I come to the sacred desk and I stumble and stagger around and you just have to bear with me because I'm trying to tell you like Jesus would. Okay? While you've got your heads bowed together, I want you to think. Say, Lord, do we actually see the move of the government from across the world all of a sudden heading up? As religion all of a sudden comes together with it and heads up. And that the medical profession of the world or the physical part of man's escapade, is it actually coming and heading up in everything from everywhere, in everything, in every walk of life, is it actually heading up into this one thing that the answer actually is in the revelation of Jesus Christ? That death in the physical can be no more. Poverty in the natural can be no more. Spiritual oppression, weariness in the spirit can be no more. Is it true that the perfect man is on the verge of coming on the scene in the manifestation of the membership of the perfect man, Jesus Christ, the one and only? Is it true that that perfect headship will return to pick up that perfect membership that has no spots and blemishes, and that true understanding of his mind has brought forth true faith of his confidence in eradicating the impurities and infiltrations of his precious body that was made sin when it knew no sin, even from the foreknowledge of God, but has always been his precious bride and children, and the redeemed, holy, spotless, perfect one man with many members, even Jesus Christ, the perfect man that has built the ark to take us over the flood of that tribulation to that great, wonderful crowning of the throne of his glory over in that great millennium age, to set upon the throne of David to rule forever. Just ask yourself, is it really like that? And then praise the Lord and love the Lord, as I ask David Paul to come and pray for you tonight.